you realize that you just don't feel all that anymore. You don't feel that anxiousness and that worry and that anxiety and that stress and that always in fight or flight mode. Like you just, all of that just dissipates. And that joy really kicks in. And it's like you start to realize, wow, you know, I'm not stressed out anymore. Or wow, you know, things, I'm just not so susceptible to the stresses of the world anymore.
Victory on the battleground. We claim it now.
Welcome to the Lady Up America podcast. I'm Diane Canada, your host. I'm so glad you're here today. It is Tuesday, March 12th. We're going to be answering a big question today. What is the peace that surpasses understanding? Let's figure it out. Be right back. Don't you find that in life when we hear a phrase or a term often enough that sometimes it can lose its potency? Maybe the first couple of times we hear it, it really resonates with us or it's really profound. And then we hear it enough times and it kind of seems to get diluted in our spirit and the way that we perceive things. I don't think God's word should ever become, you know, diluted, but it's just our human nature, right? God tells us in the Bible that we need to always be renewing our mind. And I think what that means is that we should always be making an effort to really be present when we're in our Bibles, not be kind of doing it out of a obligation or even a habit every morning, but more taking in the reverence of what it actually means to be able to go into the Bible and hear God's words and to really let them sit in our soul and replenish our soul, renew our mind. Constant refreshing in His word will do that. But again, we have to be really careful and mindful of the fact that it can also lose its potency sometimes if we're not careful. So I want to talk today about this peace that surpasses understanding. In John 14, 27, God says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So let's look at that kind of piece by piece, no pun intended. So peace I leave with you. The context of this is that after Jesus had risen from the cross, and he was back among his disciples, and he was kind of letting them know, he was ministering to them for a while before he ascended to heaven. And he was explaining to them that it's better if he goes back to the right hand of the Father, because then he can send to us the Helper. And he was talking about the Holy Spirit. So we know that in God's word that he explains to us that it's a Trinity, right? It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Well, I think we have, you know, about a pretty good understanding of who God is as our Father. We have a pretty good understanding of who Jesus is. He came and walked among us. But I don't think a lot of us have really taken enough time to understand much about the Holy Spirit. And this is something that I've been on a journey with the last few years, especially in trying to understand more about what the Holy Spirit's role is in our life. And I think this is an indicator in this scripture when Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you." I think that was part of our inheritance as he went to heaven and sent us the Holy Spirit. That's a part of him, right? It's a part of that Trinity. He sent the Holy Spirit to live in us and to guide us and to comfort us and to direct our path and all of that. So I think with that comes peace. So I don't think that it's some ethereal thing that we're chasing or that, you know, I mean, I hear a lot of people say, if I could just get a moment's peace, right? If I could just get, you know, some peace in my life. Well, it kind of clicked with me lately that that's not something we have to hope for, pray for, chase. It's something Jesus already left us in the form of the Holy Spirit. So we already have it. We just need to learn how to tap into it. It's kind of like if you have a bank account, maybe you have an inheritance of, you know, a great aunt, an affluent aunt or something who has passed away, and she's left you a bunch of money in your bank account. If you don't go access it, you know, then you're never going to be able to enjoy it, right? So this is an inheritance that Jesus left for us. So peace I leave with you. So we already have it. So important for us, me, I'm telling you guys this too, because I need to be reminded in this culture that we're in, if we focus a lot on the news cycles and we focus on just, you know, things that we even perceive and see in our own day-to-day lives, people just being so nasty and ugly with each other. And we see so much decay in our moral compass in America and all that. It's real easy to start to spiral, isn't it? It's really easy to start to feel like, you know, what's the point? Like just to get really depressed. So many of our young people these days are on antidepressants, and people are just trying to cope. It's like people are just trying to get by. I see a lot of people that just constantly need to take vacations because they just need a vacation from their life. Well, I think what Jesus is trying to say here is that we should live every day in a level of peace, become addicted to peace in such a way that we don't need to escape our life. We don't need to, you know, devolve down into alcohol or into drugs, even antidepressants, or take constant vacations in order for us to be able to get a moment's peace. So peace is something that we already have. We just don't know how to tap into it, most of us. I didn't for years. Y'all, I didn't get this for years and years. And I feel like I'm just starting to understand it. Just starting to understand that inheritance that we have. It's like that bank account, right? I'm just starting to understand that, hey, I've got a bank card. I can go access that. I can go and draw out a little piece here and there whenever I want to. Because it's there for me all the time. So peace I leave with you, he says. Peace. Then he goes on to say, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Not as the world gives. So I want to talk about that for a minute and break that down. Because in the world, I think that peace means, you know, silencing everything, getting quiet, maybe sitting on a beach somewhere, which don't get me wrong, I'm not opposed to any of that. I love a good white sandy beach and some ocean breeze, you know, in my hair. I'm all about that. But what I think he's saying is that peace as the world gives looks like that, like where it's we need to eliminate everything else in order to have a minute to rest and have peace. And when we think about, you know, the things that we do to try to get peace, whether again, that's, you know, getting a buzz, right, with some alcohol, or, you know, a lot of people indulge in, you know, other things just to kind of get a vacation in their mind for a minute, a chance for their minds to settle down and to be less noisy and frantic and all that. The things that we kind of try to tap into just to get that few minutes or that couple of hours of quote unquote peace is not the same kind of peace that God's talking about here. So this is what I've come to see in my study over the last couple of years, is that the peace he's talking about is that no matter what's going on, no matter what's, you know, flailing and flying all around us, we can be at peace in that. And that's so powerful. It's like, we don't have to wait until we get off by ourselves, or we don't have to wait until, you know, the crisis is over, or we don't have to wait until we get away from this person, whatever it is. We can actually have peace in that moment. So let's just think about what, I just want to take that apart for a minute and talk about what that actually means. These are things that God's just been showing me. And again, you know, I'm still learning right along with you. I haven't got this all figured out, but I'm just going to share with you what God's shown me. And if you have wisdom in this area, I invite you to share it here in the app. I hope you're watching the video version of this in the app. We have a community inside the app where you can share. If you're listening to it on Apple Podcasts, whatever, that's great. There's some places in Spotify where you can respond, but You can also send me an email, Diane@ladyupamerica.com. I'd love to hear your wisdom as well. But kind of taking this apart for a minute, what I have come to see about this is that peace and joy go hand in hand. Jesus said that the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? And then when we look at peace, there's a verse that's one of my favorite verses in Isaiah 40:31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So peace is the, in my opinion, if we look at peace and joy as kind of hand in hand, what that says to me is there's strength in that and there's refuge in that. And that we don't have to figure, I think where a lot of our peace kind of gets lost is when we're in these storms, we're in these messes, we're in these stressful times, right? I think where a lot of our peace gets robbed from us is where we're trying to figure everything out on our own, where we're fearful and worrying, like we're worried about what's going to happen. Our mind plays out these worst case scenarios. We feel like we're going to lose our temper. You know, there are all of these things that, like, the emotions are running really, really high, right? This is what robs us of our peace. So if we look at each one of those things and we kind of break it down, number one, if we're fearful or worried about what's going to happen, then Jesus gives us scripture after scripture after scripture in the Bible about be anxious for nothing. And like that one in Isaiah, I was just talking about, you know, wait upon the Lord, renew your strength. So it's this handing it over to him that can instantly settle us down. Like just reminding ourselves. That's why I always say, get in your Bible, because the Bible, these scriptures, when you go to them, they remind you. It's like a renewing, a refreshing. It reminds you, you don't have to figure this out on your own. Not only don't have to, but you probably can't, right? Sometimes when we're in deep valleys or we're in big messes, or it's all tangled, like our lives are just a big tangled mess. Sometimes we can't untangle it on our own. We really need the Lord to do that, to kind of show us where the fringe edge is so we can start to unravel it. Only he can do that. So if we go to him and we pray and we get in our Bible and we're reminded, like we're renewing our mind on these scriptures, it reminds us we're not alone. We do have a helper. We do have someone who's alongside of us. As the Holy Spirit lives in us, he's with us in all these scenarios. So he knows what's going on better than anybody. And he that can then, when we get quiet and we get still and we get in our Bible and we turn to him, instead of running around trying to figure it all out on our own, right? We just get still and we get quiet. And we come to our Bible. Then he, the Holy Spirit, then can speak either through those words on those pages, because he is the one who inspired them, or even directly to our hearts. And he can say, hey, let's do this. You'll sort of feel or hear in your heart these promptings, right? And you can like save so much time and energy trying to figure it out on your own when you just go to the one, the wisest one who walks with us every day. So that's first, like, you know, you don't have to figure your life out on your own. And also trying to prevent and avoid these messes can bring a lot of peace. You know, we are so rebellious. For years, I was too. I knew what was right or what was wrong, but I chose to do wrong, thinking I could get away with it or thinking it wouldn't apply to me here or whatever. And we get ourselves into these messes by not listening to his wisdom to begin with. When we get in our Bible again and we pray and we repent, then he can help us fix it at that point and use that mess for our good. He can use it, turn it into a message or a lesson, right? But when we're still in there trying to be defiant, be rebellious, disobey, we get ourselves in these messes, then we're crying out to him for help, then he pulls us out of it, then we go right back into it again with another bad decision. Like, this is the cycle of humanity, isn't it? It's like we just don't learn. We're so hard-headed. We need to learn. You know, it's like we have so much wisdom if we just ask him for it and prevent and avoid those messes. But anyway, back to this dismantling of everything. So if we're worried or we're anxious, trying to figure it out on our own, he tells us to just stop that. Like, that is not necessary. So when we hand it over to him and we And we realize that we're not smart enough to figure this out on our own. We kind of have that humility and we come to him. We're like, Lord, I've really screwed up here. Or Lord, this mess is way bigger than me. Or Lord, I don't see a way out. You just give it to him with a humble heart. You ask for his help. He's so faithful to help. But anyway, but that can help bring us peace, right? And so it settles our emotions down. So that's what I mean. Like even in the middle of the mess, that joy and that peace go hand in hand where we know we're not in this alone. We've got a father, we've got a comforter, we've got a helper that wants to pull us through and wants to teach us lessons. And sometimes those lessons are painful. I'm not going to say that if we haven't made a bad decision that there won't be consequences. There probably will be. But even that, he can help you through, you know, make it less painful or just painful enough for you to learn it and then bring good out of it on the other side. So we have to trust him. We have to trust him that even in those anxious and stressful and difficult and painful moments, he's there and we have that inheritance and we can tap into it. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So let's just deconstruct joy for just a second. Joy versus happiness. This is so, so important. And again, this really ties in because the world's way of giving us a moment's peace or giving us happiness is fleeting, right? It's very fleeting. Like, again, we might take a vacation. We might indulge in some alcohol and get a buzz. We might, you know, do other things. We might fall into the arms of a man, or we might, whatever it is that we're searching, like those moments of peace that we're looking for, just that refuge, right, is very fleeting. Yet joy is not fleeting. Joy is like a stability in our soul of knowing that no matter what, God's in control. No matter what, God is in here and he's with me. And every moment of the day, he's walking with me. And if I am in obedience to him, if I am doing everything that I know to do to follow him and obey him and get in my Bible and get that replenishment every day, that joy, oh my gosh, the strength that it builds up, it's like going to the gym, right? It's like going to the spiritual gym. When you are really walking closely with the Lord, your spiritual muscle of joy and all of the fruit of the Spirit, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, all this beautiful fruit of the Spirit, it really starts to show up in your life. It's like the things that used to rattle you before, the things that used to stress you, or the feelings that you used to have when you wanted a vacation from your life, all that. It's like all that just sort of doesn't apply to you anymore. It's kind of like it just sort of, you realize that you just don't feel all that anymore. You don't feel that anxiousness and that worry and that anxiety and that stress and that always in fight or flight mode. Like you just, all of that just dissipates. And that joy really kicks in. And it's like you start to realize, wow, you know, I'm not stressed out anymore. Or wow, you know, I'm just not so susceptible to the stresses of the world anymore. And that's where that peace really starts to kick in. It's where you really start to understand, wow, I'm actually at peace. So whatever can come at you, it just doesn't have the same ability to upset you like it once did. There's just a tolerance that you build up almost to the world. And not to say that you won't have a bad day here and there, but it won't be like, you know, won't be like every day. Like there's some of us that live in that constant state of anxiety and stress and all that every day. And maybe occasionally you get a refuge of that from that, you know, maybe occasionally you have a peaceful day or a good day, whatever. Well, it's like, it swaps, it flips, you know, when you start to really walk with him and you start to really understand and grasp and tap into that peace that's available to you through him, all of a sudden it's like, it flips. Like you have so many more good days and occasionally you have a bad day. So in this culture, in this emotionally driven, tough culture that we're in, and don't think it wasn't just as bad in Jesus's day. I mean, worse, way worse. Their cancel culture was way worse than ours is at this point. You know, they would be put to death if they didn't follow the narrative, if they didn't get in line and get in lockstep and comply. I mean, we're not far from that in America, but we're not there yet. If our church will rise up and do these things I'm talking about, walk in that peace, then people will be attracted to that. It's like we have such an opportunity to influence our culture now that where instead of the culture influencing us so much and stressing us so much and putting us in fight or flight mode all the time, instead of all that happening, if we will learn how to walk in this peace that Jesus already left us, then we can then start to influence the culture. See, right now, Christians are just a bunch of hypocrites. Like we talk about so much spiritually, but we're not walking it out. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. That fruit is patience and goodness and kindness and gentleness and humility, self-control, all these things we talked about. You know, so if you're not walking that out, if that's not showing up in your life as your default, then you know, where there's no peace, there's no power. There's no power when you are all torn up. Like, who's going to want that? You know, people are attracted to peace. So we have that opportunity right now to influence our culture by learning how to tap into our inheritance. It's not something we have to go hope for, chase, look for effortfully, none of that. We already have it. Jesus said, I left you. Peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, not the little moments of peace, not the little times when you can check out from your life and go have an hour or a week or whatever of a reprieve, right? Not that kind of peace. The peace that surpasses understanding, that peace that you can have in the middle of the worst trial or the worst news or the worst circumstance. When you can have peace in the middle of that, then people are looking at you and going, how can you not be upset right now? How can you not be in a freak out right now? And you say, well, the Lord, you know, and then that's your opportunity to witness and to share with them what's available to them. And people want that. They're hungry for that. They're starving for that. You know how I know? Because of look at all the indulgences that are out there. Look at all the ways that people are desperately trying to escape their lives, escape their anxiety. I mean, it is so prevalent. Like the enemy lies will never, or the enemy tactics, or even the world's smorgasbord of opportunities to check out from your life, none of that will ever satisfy them. All it does is bring them up hungry. You know what? Because when the buzz wears off, you know, then you're back to your life again. You know, when the vacation's over and you got to return to your life, you know, you're depressed again. I mean, it doesn't last, but the joy that you have available to you, the peace and the joy that go hand in hand, that peace that surpasses human understanding, that's where the gold is. That's where the influence is. That's where people go, something different about her. I want what she has. How does she have a smile on her face when she's dealing with all of this? That's where the gold is. That's the treasure. All right. So I hope that you will start to really take hold of this and understand you already have peace. You already have it. Jesus already gave it to you. Tap into it. Get out your spiritual ATM card and go tap into it. I don't mean to be irreverent, but I'm just trying to give you the analogy so that we can understand. Go access it. It's yours. It's yours on a silver platter. Jesus left it for you. You have that spiritual treasure just waiting for you to access it. All right, let me pray with you. Father God, thank you so much for the peace that you left us. Lord, I pray over every woman listening to this today, Lord, that she would begin to understand the inheritance that you've left for us that's so generous, Lord, that's so good. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for what you left us. Thank you for leaving us the Holy Spirit and your peace, Lord. Help us to really walk out that peace that surpasses understanding. Teach us what that means. Give us your wisdom, Lord. We pray for wisdom today and for insight like we've never had before around this topic. Lord, we love you. We honor you. And in this culture, let us be influencers, Lord, and no longer influenced by this culture. Help us, your church, to step up for you in profound ways and in ways that just confound the wise, Lord. Let us be a light for you in this dark, dark world. We love you, Lord, and we honor you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, peace. that surpasses understanding. I wish that for you today. Lady up. Around this time, victory on the battle.